There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
We have two guests with us for Drive Live Talks Careers. Let me just very quickly introduce them. Amanda White is here. She's the Managing Director of Innovative HR Solutions. Amanda, lovely to see you.
Good afternoon, Tim.
And also Stuart Walker, a partner at Freedy and Angel. Stuart, welcome back.
Good afternoon.
Good to see you. So we're going to be talking for the next 40 minutes about motivation. I should say before we start, if you have a legal question in particular to do with your career, perhaps your employment in some way, Stuart's here to answer those questions. So he's ready and willing. Our number's 4001. You can text via the free app if you'd like to do it that way, or you can call us on 423 1010.
Drive Live Talks Careers.
So here we are, motivation, how to find it, how to inspire it. It is a quieter time of year, I think, Amanda. Obviously, it's Ramadan now. We're coming into the summer, traditionally, I guess, quieter times. And those two, you know, coincide or run concurrently, I suppose. Is it a problem this time of year, do you think?
Well, it is quite interesting. As you say, it's the heat. Things are quieter. Things potentially are slower. People are off on holidays, so it's quieter all round, actually. So, I mean, there's a chance that things will become a little bit less interesting and therefore slightly less motivating.
What do you think, Stuart? How are you finding things?
I think historically there was always this expectation that the summer was very quiet and decision makers were away and things slowed down.
Yeah.
I get a sense that that's different these days and that there isn't that same summer slowdown. But I think at the same time there is a feeling that maybe families leave Dubai, return to their home country, and there is a slight change in the dynamic.
Well, I think so, and I think that must have an effect. If you take the summer as the example here of married, family, children, holiday, people going away, perhaps father left here, the traditional unit, as it were. But I guess, you know, that has an impact on motivation. It's just one of the aspects, Amanda.
There's quite a few aspects going on, as you say, quite a few contributing factors. But that said, you know, I'm kind of agreeing with you a little bit in the sense that for the last 3 or 4 years, it's been so busy in Ramadan. People are taking the opportunity to do Ramadan projects. I know that we collect Ramadan projects throughout the year. And certainly our clients are asking us to make more proposals and to think through concepts to go live after Eid. So we've not seen quite the same slowdown as before, but nonetheless it's hot. You know, a large percentage of our workers are actually fasting, so you know, all of that does take its toll for sure.
And do you think because of that we have to sort of look to ourselves to be a bit more motivated, because maybe in the past it has been quieter? Do you think maybe you need to set your own agenda to an extent?
Yes, absolutely. I think it's very important that people are responsible for their own motivation and they set some goals that are realistic for that period of time.
And Stuart, are you finding that, you know, people are needing to organise their time perhaps differently and you just need to motivate yourself that bit more perhaps?
So in terms of incentivising our employees, we run an annual bonus scheme and that's tied into billable hours, essentially. As lawyers, we sell our time, and so we're very keen on tracking time because that's the basis on which we invoice our clients. Now, we tie that into the associate's bonus plan, saying if you hit so many hours and you hit some other subjective criteria, you will get X amount of money. And it can be a reasonable sum. Now, to hit those billable hours, you can't sort of catch it all up at the end of the year. You have to consistently be clocking in enough hours every month. And if you lose a month, it's very hard to then hit your target. So I'm always reminding my guys, you know, if it's quiet in the summer, you can't slack off entirely because you'll miss your targets.
And that's interesting because it's not always all about the money. There is the carrot there, and that is a financial reward. But it is more, it seems to me, about consistent performance. And when it's quiet, you've got to maybe think a little bit out of the box, Stuart.
Yeah, I think that would be correct.
Okay, because it really isn't all about the money, is it, Amanda? That's one thing that I suppose we should make clear. I mean, we're reading research today. One of the articles that I read was why motivation is so crucial for success. Obviously, you want people who are motivated, you want people to love to doing what they do, to want to perform. Motivation's inherent in all of those things and points you there. But the first thing here was stop bribing people. Don't use money as the ultimate carrot. Yeah. There's much more to it.
Money has a very short-term impact, as you say. As soon as the money's gone, so has the goodwill. Essentially, you know, if you are an organisation, or indeed if you are a line manager, I mean, there's certainly things that you need to get right all year round. And that obviously includes things like hiring the right managers in the first place and providing employees with feedback, you know, being clear about your values as an organisation, creating a happy and productive workplace, coaching people, developing people, recognizing personal milestones when they occur. Don't ignore those achievements, even if they're small ones. In fact, don't wait for the elephant to be landed each time. You know, those small incremental improvements or achievements are worth recognizing. And be clear about really what the employer value proposition is. I mean, don't think about rewarding, for instance, education to somebody if, in fact, they don't have children. That's not important to them. A 20-year-old may be more interested in actually further training or development, or they might be interested in a bonus as opposed to options. So, you know, you've got to know your audience and be a bit flexible, I think, with your packages for benefits.
Two guests in the studio. Questions, lines are open, 4001 via the free app, or call us direct, 423 1010.
Drive Live talks careers.
As I said, two guests. First of all, ladies first, Amanda White's here, Managing Director of Innovative HR Solutions, and Stuart Walker is a partner at Freedy and Angel. We're talking about motivation of employees, and I suppose of employers as well, how to inspire it, why it is all-encompassing in so many ways. That's what we're going to get to in a second. We do have Mohammed on the line, though. First of all, questions for Stuart, I guess. This is Mohammed. What was it you wanted to ask?
Hi, guys.
Good
hi,
to have
Stuart.
You
how are you? Hi. Good evening.
How can we help you, Mohammed?
My question is to Stuart. Actually, I'm working as a sales executive at a medical trading company.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I've just received a couple of offers from other companies. Okay, to join the team. However, when I joined this company, I initially signed a limited period contract, 2 years.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now the issue arises where if I have to leave this company, then one, I'm supposed to compensate my current employer with 45 days of my salary, and as a fine, and also I might be banned for, I think, 6 months or 1 year, I'm not sure. So I would just like to have a clarity on this regard and whether it's safe for me to accept another job offer, or what are my options in front of me right now.
Okay, and an offer is imminent, I guess. You've talked to a couple of other companies.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, then, let's see. Stuart, what do you think?
The whole idea of having a fixed-term contract is to give the employer and the employee confidence that you will be in that relationship for that period of time. And so mm-hmm. if one party wants to break that contract, it's normal and reasonable for compensation to be payable. It's not normally characterized as a fine per se, but it amounts to the same thing. Often if you're a good leaver, the company may waive that. It really depends on your relationship with your manager, probably. Similarly, if they realize that, you know, you have been a good employer and they're happy to see you move on in your career, they wouldn't attempt to obtain any ban, because that's okay. Something that they have to apply to. It doesn't happen automatically. So
the ban is not automatic.
So if you can leave on very good terms, mm-hmm. then you can avoid any sort of ban and also maybe avoid this fine.
How's your relationship with your employer?
It's pretty decent. I mean, I wouldn't call it like we sit down together and have lunch types, but you know, it's okay. I mean, I have no bad feelings towards them. Neither do they have anything against me. So it's been good so far.
Mohammed, can I make a recommendation? If you're going to raise this with them, you need to reassure them that you're not going to be copying customer lists or trying to take away any of the intellectual property of the company to one of their competitors. If you can give them comfort on that, they may be happier to help you move on in your career.
sounds good.
Really appreciate you calling. All the best. Hope it goes well.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
That's Mohammed. Just one question in addition to that. If a ban is applied, take Mohammed's example there, Stuart. Say a ban was requested. What's the procedure to make the case that actually, you know, I shouldn't be banned? This is what evidence do you need to provide?
It's very difficult at that stage to avoid it. If the employer makes the application and requests that a ban is put in place, I mean, it's different for different industries and depending on your seniority, etc. But once that's there, it's difficult. It's near on impossible, frankly, to remove it. So you just have to accept that you're going to have to go maybe to another country for a period of time before coming back to the UAE.
Okay, and there are some professional positions that a ban can't be applied to.
Correct.
I understand. Yeah. So it's worth checking out the Ministry of Emiratization and Human Resources website for that, if that applies to you. Solomon texted in and said, thank you, Amanda. You shed some very much needed light on motivation and the points we were making earlier, and the key word there was flexibility. It's a word that we probably need to hear more of, isn't it? Flexibility.
Yes, I think so. And certainly when it comes to how to motivate people, because people have different motivations. And I think the other thing that we overlook in these kind of industrial communities, such as we see here in Dubai, is this need for connection, these kind of sort of softer things for people to feel a sense of belonging, to people feel, that they are being recognised, as I mentioned earlier, and also that there's a sort of shared belief, a shared story about what we're doing here. So that sense of connection, that sense of flexibility, knowing who you are employing and feeling that connection to your employer is really helpful.
Do you know, when you talk about motivation, we often hear about people being motivated by jealousy, by passion, by fear, by revenge. And the point with that is that all of those are feelings, aren't they? They're all powerful motivators. And one of the things that perhaps companies don't spend enough time doing is exactly that, making a connection, trying to make employees feel, perhaps an emotional connection is taking it a little bit too far, but making them feel connected.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know that feeling that emotional connection is actually too far, because I think, you know, we want to get up in the morning and feel that we have got a purpose. And I think that, there's a direct correlation clearly between that sense of purpose and being productive and being happy or content at work, feeling that you're making a contribution. And that goes back to kind of celebrating those small improvements or achievements. So that actually we all feel that we're here for a reason. And I think that is really key in any work situation. So it's important, I think, for organisations to have a clear sense of values, a clear sense of strategic direction, that employees know there's a lot of transparency about what's expected from them, and they are able to feel that they can make that contribution.
We've covered two things so far on a list of, I've got four things on this list, and I want to kind of put these to you one by one. And the heading is why motivation is so crucial for success. The first thing to do is to stop bribing people. Money isn't always the factor. It's an important factor, don't get me wrong, but it isn't necessarily the ultimate factor. Rewards work, but they only work in the short term. The second one there, connection, making people feel something, really feel something. The third one I wanted to put to you was emphasizing progress. And you touched on this 10 minutes ago, saying, look, it's not about the great big, the elephant landing. You've done this and we've got to the moon. It's about charting the progress on the way.
Yes, absolutely. And I think certainly something that we do, and I'm sure a number of organisations do, we have, you know, quarterly get-togethers with employees. If you can't do that physically because there's just too many people, then it might be newsletters. It might be line managers are responsible for communicating key messages. So that actually, and that goes back to job security, actually, individuals feel not only what it is that we've achieved today and what it is that we are set to do for this next quarter or for the remainder of the year or for the next 3 years, but also they understand how they specifically can contribute. I think that level of transparency is really key.
In this article, and I'm going to give you the fourth one now, and I'm not suggesting that we should form a cult, but I think you know what I mean.
Yes.
It's the idea is to have a story, a narrative, a shared belief.
Yes.
Sounds a little bit airy-fairy, but it's not.
No, it's not. And I know this work, actually, the work of Ben Horowitz, isn't it?
That's right.
The share belief, share story.
Yeah.
And this goes back again to that sense of common purpose. And I think it's critical, because what we will see is that we'll see that that makes a correlation to, as I say, people's sense of job satisfaction, also of their own job security, because they understand the way in which they can contribute and they can see what the big picture looks like and they've been told how the organisation's doing. You'll find that sick leave should go down. You'll find that productivity should go up. So all in all, you know, good news for everybody.
I think we've had a text in from Kurt. It says it's difficult to motivate anybody. Motivation seems to be an internal matter. The only thing a manager can do is remove obstacles. Now, that's Kurt's perspective. Would you do you agree that managers can't motivate people? It's something that we need to find within ourselves.
Yeah, clearly there is something called intrinsic motivation, and certainly you know, we rely on people to have a degree of intrinsic motivation, i.e. that, you know, they're motivated by the purpose, by the mission, their contribution toward it. But equally, line managers can do a lot. Removing obstacles is absolutely key. I mean, so many people will complain of that. In fact, research suggests that 70% of individuals who leave organisations do so because of their line manager. So not necessarily due to the organisation, but specifically because of the relationship that they have with them. And I think line managers can certainly clear the way. They can certainly sense that, create that sense of purpose. They can coach and they can develop people. Going back to that in caller earlier, you know, that sense of flexibility, you know, understand the motivations of individuals and be flexible and recognise individual needs. And as well as encourage that work-life balance, because I think it's important that people take breaks, and it's important that, you know, we regroup for every now and again and say, well, what have we achieved here?
It's about working with people, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's about being understanding. Yeah, that's the word.
Yeah.
But what about, I mean, Kurt said that it's difficult to motivate people, it's internal. What about someone who's listening and thinking, I don't know, let's say they work in Stuart's Field, they're a young lawyer starting out, and they think, I've got bags of idea, loads of motivation, I want to go and talk to my manager about all these fantastic revenue-making ideas I have, and I've got some better ways of working, new practices, and it's a closed door. So how does that person stay motivated when the door just is closed?
Yeah, and that's really what we're talking about here when we talk about the role of line managers in ensuring that people are motivated. Because as you say, if the door is closed, eventually you're going to find that individual starts to lose interest. And then we're going to start seeing productivity issues. We might see sickness issues. We might just simply see them walk out the door. As Jack Welch once said, you know, there are three things that business leaders need to know. They need to be concerned with customer satisfaction. They need to be concerned with cash flow. And they need to be concerned with employee motivation. And that's it.
I wanted to bring you in here, Stuart, actually, because Kurt texted in another question. There's kind of a question in this for you. And he's asking, I've asked several times for an employee handbook to ensure my team and I understand obligations and perhaps benefits. HR responds that only they have access to that. No copies are available for sections and pages used by HR to make their point. Can't be copied, which doesn't seem normal to me. And Kurt's questioning
that. It seems bizarre, frankly. Unless they, you know, work for some state security organisation, or it seems a very unusual approach to take by this HR department. And Kurt should express that to them in very strong terms.
I would think so. I understand why it's difficult to motivate people in your organisation. You were going to make a point. Sorry.
Yeah, we've been talking about motivation, and we've been talking in terms of carrots rather than sticks. I think there is a role for managers to explain to employees that unless they motivate themselves and get a crack on, they could be at risk of ceasing to be employed in that organisation.
Mm.
And for some individuals, that can be very motivating.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, the carrot and the stick's a very important thing. This is another well-worn phrase. It's a two-way street, isn't it? You can't motivate somebody that really isn't interested in the job and can't be bothered, Amanda.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And in fact, one of the things that people cite as highly demotivating is, you know, obviously, not only is my line manager got a closed door, my line manager's not listening, but people around me are getting promoted that don't deserve promotion. People are being recognised for things they didn't do. The wrong person was employed for this role, those things are really upsetting for motivations, for general feelings of employee motivation. So I think it is important that we have those tough conversations when people don't perform. We don't hire people who are not up to the mark. We don't certainly don't promote them if they're not up to the mark, and we don't put them in charge of others. So I think, as you say, we have to be quite clear as well about the expectations we have of people.
And everyone has to understand that and see that happening.
Yes.
Justice has to be seen to be performed.
100%, yeah.
We have two guests, Stuart Walker from Afridi & Angel, legal questions to Stuart, Amanda White, Managing Director of Innovative HR Solutions.
Drive Live talks careers.
So we've been thinking about job security. We had a little chat there, and job security here means something very different to lots of other places in the world, because with your job comes lots of other things, Amanda. Do you think there is a feeling that jobs and people in employment are more vulnerable here?
I think there is a slight sense of that. I know Stuart will pick up on the contract shortly, but there is a sense here that actually your family, if you've got children, they're at schools, your wife might be here, or husband, of course, you know, so much depends on your job and your visa. So, you know, if I kick up too much of a fuss, or if this isn't really working for me, you know, the consequences are that I have to lift everything up potentially and leave. So I think that that gives rise to a sense of you know, I just want to bed down, a lot of concern about losing your job, for sure.
Do you think that, Stuart? Is there a sense that perhaps some people employed in what may be slightly precarious circumstances now keep their heads below the parapet, as it were?
I know that, you know, for better or for worse, I advise lots of employers who are considering terminating a senior employee, and they call in the lawyers to advise on that process. And one of the sort of softer things we try and counsel them at that point is to say, you know, this individual does have a family, they do have children. The kids may be in the middle of exams or something at the moment. This is going to be hugely disruptive to this individual's life. Is there flexibility from your side, the employer's side, on timing? Or giving them longer notice, or compensating them in some way to enable them to arrange things appropriately for the family? And I have to say, a lot of employers will accept that and say, okay, yeah, we can build that into our thinking.
I think as well, there is quite a strong sense of family here in general. You know, I can imagine people are quite receptive to that in terms of...
Because they're probably in the same situation themselves.
Yeah.
You know, we're all, you know, many of us are foreigners here in this country, and we're all in that sort of same position.
Amanda, how do managers and organisations get it right when it comes to motivating people? One of the things that you try to get across when you talk to people about really, I'm using lots of trite phrases, seemingly trite phrases today, but how do you get across to people how to inspire your employees, how to really get the best?
Yeah, I think, you know, we're talking about job insecurity. I think you have to give a sense of security to people.
Yeah.
Without, as you said earlier, Stuart, without actually making it so soft and warm that nobody actually knows what's expected of them. So you've got to get that balance right. I think there are so many things that have given rise to feelings of job insecurity, especially for young people, actually. You know, I look at things like the rise of technology, for instance. Everybody's been told that there's driverless cars, 3D printing, you know, artificial intelligence replacing people left, right and centre. And somebody just entering the workforce for the first time must be thinking, crikey, what's left for me? So I can see how, you know, the world of work is quite an intimidating place at the moment for a young person. So I think it's on the need of our leaders, our line managers, our leaders more broadly, really is to set that sense of purpose, as I say, and strategy, and give people a sense of what it is that they expect of them. And that's not just a job description. That really is about setting direction. It's about giving people updates as to how we're tracking against that goal, so that actually people really understand their place in the organisation.
We, Tim and I, were talking to a manager not so long ago, and they were starting a business, and it was a very stressful time. Lots of people running around, quite stressed out, and this manager was very relaxed and calm. We said, how are you so calm? And the manager said, because I'm leading my team. If they look to me, and I'm running around stressed out, how are they going to behave? They look to me to lead them. Yeah. And I have to be calm, I have to be in control, and I have to know what I'm doing. And I thought that was a really, really interesting piece of advice.
I think that's an excellent piece of advice. And as you say, a lot of people are taking their cues from their leaders because they're the people with the greatest understanding of what the vision holds. And if the leader's running around looking anxious or concerned or stressed, then that doesn't really say a lot for everybody else who's watching and taking their cues from that individual. So I think certainly as a leader, it's important, I think, to invest in our leaders. We spend a lot of time coaching leaders, literally in coaching skills. We teach leaders how to listen, how to really ask the right questions, how to engage with their employees so that actually their employees can provide some ideas and suggestions. It's very good for the creative process, of course, but it's also very good to find out how we can improve things around here and what is it going to be that's going to potentially improve productivity or the way in which we engage with our customers. Often our employees know those things, and as leaders we need to tap into that resource.
Stuart, one more question for you. I take my cues from both of you today. You're so cool, calm and collected. And as Suleiman says, Amanda, you're killing it with these facts today.
Excellent.
Which is nice to hear. But should we be asking for fixed-term contracts, Stuart, to bolster our feeling of security? Is that something you should be demanding as an employee? Or asking for?
Yeah, demanding is maybe not the right word. But have a discussion at the time of hiring and say, you know, I'm potentially moving to my family to a new country to take up this position. I need the comfort that I'll be there in the role for at least 3 years. So I'd like a 3-year fixed term contract, please.
Okay, that's pretty much all the time we've got on Drive Live Talks Careers today. Motivation, loads more to discuss, but let's just go through the top line quickly. Don't try and bribe people. It's not always all about the money. Make them feel something, emphasize progress, and shared belief. Don't form a cult, because that's weird, but the story is really important. Thank you to our guests. Amanda White is Managing Director of Innovative HR Solutions. Good to see you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for coming in. And Stuart Walker, a partner at Afridi & Angel. Stuart, always good to have you here.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.